briefing and a public hearing. Number 10, our 2014 North of Falcon policy, C-3608. Ron Warren, I see some other members of the North of Falcon team back there. We hear that it's beginning again.
Chair Wecker, commissioners, directors, I'm Ron Warren. To my right, a staple of the North of Falcon team and a critical link to our success in recent years and certainly in the coming year, John Long. I brought him along because I didn't want to have to phone a friend when I got asked a question that I didn't know. So I'm hoping that I can give you the high-level things, and if folks have questions about particular fisheries, I've got John here to be able to answer questions for you, and I'm confident that he can. So I am here to brief you on the North Falcon policy. The current policy expires December 31st of 2014. And going to brief you on that policy, try to click through it relatively quickly. I know most of you are well aware of its components. I'd like to share with you some key issues that came up last year during North Falcon. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about an update on the co-management workshop that we had in October in Tulalip, as well as provide just a brief summary of some of the meetings that are scheduled for the 2014 season, and then finish up with some of the communication enhancements that we hope to implement this year. So the policy is set in a foundation that talks about these principles, and they're the principles that take us from our technical rigor through our conservation and into all of the management parameters of setting the seasons, as well as keeping in consideration the vast diversity of fishers, both from recreational and commercial interests. It also talks through mortalities that are placed on species within the fisheries, as well as mortalities on other critters while our fisheries are in place, and about how the commission would like us to communicate. So the rules of the road are then founded in our statutory authority, federal regulations, our Puget Sound Chinook Harvest Management Plan, national and international fishery management, implementation of the Pacific Salmon Treaty and the framework through PFMC for salmon management, as well as our co-manager agreements that occur, and in addition, commission policies. Within the policy, you remind us to implement this consistent with 21st century salmon and steelhead initiative. One of the most critical things, I believe, because it is beat into our heads, I'll say, by ourselves, that we always talk about is the ability to meet or exceed ESA standards. Without that, we don't get permits to conduct those fisheries. In the general and statewide fishery opportunities are on those healthy stocks. To expand our opportunities, we offer selective fisheries, look at gear options to maximize our opportunities, and to minimize impacts on those less abundant stocks that we encounter while we have our fisheries in place. And then we need to make sure that we are not exclusively reserved for either sport or commercial users. So meaningful recreational opportunities. Again, we have a diverse group of recreational fishers, both marine area, freshwater area, that have their favorite places, their favorite gear types, their own limitations or cultural or historic ways of fishing, and we try to offer those diverse opportunities to those constituents. In the non-treaty arena, the harvest management that we have, if there are portions of the fish that are underutilized, we certainly, through guidance, pursue that and talk to our co-managers to see that we could get some in-season management actions in place to take advantage of that. And then guidance on sockeye chum and pinks, priority towards commercial fisheries, and while providing the meaningful fisher or meaningful opportunities for the recreational community. Conversely, for Chinook and Coho in Puget Sound, prioritized towards the recreational community, but providing opportunities for that commercial harvest to occur. And then in Grays Harbor, which I'll be back again to talk tomorrow about, but to include opportunities for the recreational and commercial fisheries there, Willapaw, consistent with the Willapaw Framework Plan, offering meaningful opportunities for both commercial and recreational fisheries. And then, again, the PFMC framework, salmon management plan, and following that document. Columbia River, to work with the ODF&W. Regional Director Norman will be here tomorrow to talk about the implementation of that policy. So you'll get to hear more about that. But to optimize use of species with a balanced opportunity and watching our conservation responsibilities. In-season management, this is an area where we have to, as John and I were talking yesterday, this is an area where we have to be have good memories or have taken good notes, that as we get ourselves into in-season management, that may alter what was talked about at North Falcon with constituents, that we want to be mindful of what was said and try to stay true to those conversations and continue to try to implement actions that had been brought up and concerns shared by our constituents. Enforcement, very important. It's very important that we know at times percentages of compliance, but that our fishery participants are complying with our regulations. It's always good to be able to sit across the table in fishery discussions and offer people a high level of compliance in the fisheries that you're talking about. And then just overall guidance to minimize gear and fishery conflicts. We had an issue last year where this centered around gear and fishery conflicts that we'll talk about in just a little bit, but this happens to talk about sport and commercial representatives and the fact that we would offer some dispute resolution if we can't resolve issues. The incidental mortalities, to minimize those in our fisheries and those mortalities on sensitive species and seabirds that may occur, and to assure we're consistent with our the Migratory Bird Act. And then communications, just making sure that we are requesting observers in our state tribal meetings, that we are maintaining records and using a wide variety of tools to communicate to the public and our constituency. And then the delegation of authority to the director to allow us to promulgate rules and have fisheries in place that have been discussed and agreed upon through the North Falcon process. So two of the issues that occurred in 2013, that of us trying to set fisheries in place for the Puyallup River and the Skokomish River. Now, the Puyallup River had a significant fishery or fishing opportunity, a large number of pinks, a lot of users. It was discussed or during in season that about 10,000 people fished the opening weekend for pinks on the Puyallup River. But during the discussions, we had difficulties separating what was safety for all of the fishery participants, state and tribal, and the prevention of conflict. We also, as we'll talk about as I update you on the co-manager workshop, had a difficulty of having people at the table that could actually make the decision for parties, and it ended up within the Puyallup discussion that as we left PFMC, the actual fishery that we put in place was very close, if not spot on, to what we had been talking about all along, and never did reach full agreement. It was just a fishery that we notified the co-manager of and put in place without objection. Within the Skokomish River, we had an issue that was of authority within the river system itself, and the tribe claiming that they have the right to manage the a non-treaty fishery as their boundary would come to the far side of the river, so anybody fishing would need to be licensed, and that they could then enforce that. Those were difficult discussions because, one, we didn't have time to get through the legal standing of the boundary, and two, absent that, we did not want to put our fishers on the in harm's way from a legal standpoint. And charge ahead only to have them ticketed or have vehicles or gear confiscated. In an effort to try to protect constituencies while having those discussions delayed that issue. Relative to the Skokomish River fishery, the boundary issue, I know that Director Anderson has sent a letter to Joseph Pavel of the Skokomish tribe in an effort to understand how we're going to proceed and have attorneys look at the issue from the boundary legally and make recommendations to the party. We're hoping that the issue can be set aside and hearing that it won't be an issue as we go into the 2014 season. So updating on the co-manager workshop that we had at Tulalip in October, an outcome of that is an ongoing series of meetings that we talk about multiple issues listed up above. What I hope to do is pick just a few of those and update you on ones that I believe are most relevant to the North Falcon process, but also cross over into just overall relationship building and good communications. So the cooperation and co-management, again, just assuring that we have identified and a commitment of the right policy level folks to be at the meeting. The North Falcon process itself, to assure that we have timely decision making, so that as we exit North Falcon, our agreed to document is complete, and that we are moving forward. And then overall communication commitment to have an annual co-managers meeting set no later than May 15th of each year, and catch accounting, an improvement process to ensure that we accurately account for all harvest and fisheries. Those are just four of the key topics that you saw from the previous slide, that some of which we're actively working on, the cost accounting subgroup from the co-managers and the agency have been actively meeting regularly, talking about catch accounting and the e-ticket process that the tribe's trying to implement to get to a paperless system, but to be able to assure that it accurately accounts for all harvest in that. These are critical. I think that the take-home message is that some of that is in our hands. Certainly we can press to have the meeting set up or encourage that meeting to be set up on time. The decision-making, the right policy people will keep you informed as we go through the North Falcon. We'll know when we get there. Our North Falcon schedule, this is just a brief look at, or a summarization of meetings that we have scheduled so far. Starting off in early March with our opening forecast meeting, where we meet with the public, going through the PFMC meetings, our North Falcon, where we have state meetings and tribal meetings in Olympia, and then North Falcon 2 in Linwood, where we have similar meetings with our constituents and tribes on differing days. And then throughout this process are the regional meetings that we didn't have room and didn't want to have multiple slides on every meeting that we have scheduled so far. Additional Columbia River meetings, and then the March 27th meeting at the Benton PUD on the east side to talk about the North Falcon schedule over in Kennewick. So North Falcon culminates the final week of, or the final PFMC week, ending April 10th this year. And then just wanted to briefly cover some of the 2014 enhancements, improving effectiveness. We are developing an online comment process to where we can accept comments about fisheries, similar to how we have accepted comments for our rule proposals for game fish. We're still ironing that out, but feel confident working with public affairs and their hard work that we'll have something in place by the middle of February to have a package of fisheries for people to comment on. The improvement of transparency to try to increase the amount of information that we post online, certainly the performance of our fisheries. But to keep people up to date about, as the commission does with your schedule, to try to post those items that were outcomes of those meetings, make them available to those folks who couldn't attend, and then have that online presence for them. I think that will make a big benefit or for the constituents. Improved participation is just more of a Ron Warren go get to know everybody. These next two bullets are that. I'm asking the Region 4 staff to give me an idea about the sports groups that have scheduled meetings in February, and I'm going to try to attend as many of those as I can. Luckily, those are at night, so that won't goof up my work day. I think the important part about that is to send clear messages about what we're trying to accomplish at North Falcon, but then commit to go back after North Falcon's done and talk to them about the implementation in North Falcon and what you did and why you did it. I'm also trying to schedule meetings with those key tribal policy representatives that should be at those meetings. I have some success so far, but continue to try to get on the schedules of those people. And then finally, the last enhancement is just to take a look at the increasing number of public records requests. You saw Ryan and Steve, and certainly with John's leadership, one of the ideas that has come up is that we'll take all of the notes from our North Falcon process for each of the rules and put everything in one place and then PDF it and be able to provide that on our shared drives, agency shared drives, so everybody's working with the same information. We could provide that to constituents who wanted the full meal deal of what went on during the year. It may assist us if litigation is brought, and because we'll be closer to what we can provide our counsel. And we'll also be working with our records retention staff to make sure that we are keeping everything that we're supposed to in that process, in hoping that we document everything and able to share it with folks. So with that, again, the policy expires December 31st of 2014. And I'd love to answer any questions that you might have. Okay. Or have John answer any questions that you might have.
So we will be making a decision on this in February? Is that the idea?
I don't believe that there is any decision to be made. This is a briefing. Okay. I know that you're going to have a public comment after the presentation, but the policy is not open. The policy, even with possible modifications to the Grays Harbor policy, stands as guidance, and don't think that we need modification to it at this time.
Okay. All right, any questions? Anyone? Director Anderson?
Wasn't sure I heard Ron just exactly right in terms of how he represented the Skokomish jurisdiction issue. I did have an opportunity to talk with Joseph Pavel during our government-to-government meeting earlier this week on that issue. The next step was to have our respective legal counsels have a discussion. He left me with some optimism that we would be able to work our way through this year without it being an issue, but don't want you to think that that is something that has been decided or officially represented yet from the Skokomish tribe. And just, I know Ron said it two or three times, but so this is a two-year policy. It goes through December 2014, so we just wanted to come back and remind everybody about what it was, what it said, and whether or not there were any fatal flaws in it that needed adjustments.
Okay. Got it. Commissioner Holtzmiller.
Ron, when you were going through your list of meetings, and I excuse me because I was busy concentrating there, and you were talking, now there's no meetings on the east side?
There is a meeting. It's not listed. It's March 27th at the Benton PUD building.
Okay.
In Kennewick.
Thank you.
Very welcome. Okay. Thank you.
Director Anderson?
The other thing, I just, I don't know if I just realized it, but the commission's March meeting, which is in Moses Lake, is on top of the Pacific Council meeting, which is in Sacramento. So I'll be having to make a decision as to which way to go. I will likely go to Sacramento, despite how much I enjoy being here with you.
We'll get you next month.
Commissioner Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Ron and John. I think like you talked too, and I see our gray hair in the back there, Mr. Patillo. Nice to see you again, Pat. I guess I have just a couple of thoughts that I wanted to share, having been involved in that process for too long. One of the things that concerns me greatly is every year we start off the process with a preseason forecast. And there's, 75 or 80 or 90 or 120 sometimes in years past, people show up. And as we go through the various meetings and we get down to the last PFMC, there's about four of us there, or six people, on the recreational side. And I would just really suggest if there's any way you can come up with a strategy to increase participation by more people involved. I mean, then they got a pride of ownership and going back to our previous agenda items and Commissioner Smith's comments, some younger people in the process. I just think it's paramount for the success into the future. The other thing, and I know I don't need to make this comment necessarily, but I just want to put it out there that when we end up in a situation like we did in 2013, where we had two pieces of to be determined in the pamphlet, it does a couple things. It costs people opportunity because they lose interest and they don't know what to do, and then they don't go fishing somewhere. But there also is a loss of trust for the agency and for the commission. And I don't know what we could do about it. Could have done about it last year because I was in the trenches in the meetings. But I just know what the public comes away with. So I just want to put that on the table. And when we're done, and when North of Falcon is finalized and everybody's in agreement and we have a package, is what we all hope is the outcome, I would just really again encourage those of you that have the ability to do so to very aggressively market the outcome of that to the public. Whatever it is, whatever, like Steve said earlier, the good, the bad, and the ugly, have a strong outreach program because the public is owed an opportunity to know what opportunities they have so they can plan their lives and plan their vacations and so on. I just think that was worth saying, and thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments, questions? I don't know. I mean, you're starting up this process again. It's always exhausting. Good luck. Do well. Represent us assertively. John?
I would like to respond to Commissioner Carpenter with that first comment that you made. I think that's a really valid point, that participation sometimes does tend to kind of wane by the end. And I think there's a couple of reasonable reasons for that, and then there's some, but that's not to make excuses for it. By design, we're trying to wrap things up early as possible in the process to make decisions, so minimizing the number of folks by the end is probably a good thing. However, that's not to say that we shouldn't be trying to seek opportunities to increase participation. And I think a couple of ways that we're doing that is, Ron mentioned the increased web presence, and you mentioned younger folks. And I think the web presence for younger folks and that ability for them to participate from a distance is important for targeting that particular demographic. And then I'd also mention that we had a new meeting that we started last year for South Puget Sound. We held it in Olympia in an evening. It was one of the better attended North of Falcon meetings that we had last year. It was, I believe it was
between 40 and 50 folks to discuss some of those issues, and that was kind of in the middle of the process. And so I'm hopeful that we'll continue to do those things, and if we parlay enough of those together, maybe we can increase participation, and especially from younger folks.
Okay, we've got Commissioner Smith first, and then
just to piggyback on the younger or the next generation's input, I think an invite to them. I don't think they would participate by osmosis on this. I think reaching out to them in whatever communications you put out, always have a sentence in there that input from the youth or the next generation of fishers or something like that is particularly critical and welcome. So let them know that their input is desired and appreciated, because if they are not asked as such, I don't think they would just do it by default. So.
Commissioner Carpenter.
Real quick, just a follow-up, John. I appreciate that, what you said. I think, though, doing it electronically in some areas is fine, but having been there and watched people over the decades kind of come through, they got to be in those meetings to be able to understand the verbiage and all the buzzwords that go on and I mean, it's a complicated process, and I tell people it's going to take you 3 years to even figure out where first base is, you know. But so I'll leave it at that. But I think it sounds like you got a plan, and I appreciate that.
I totally agree with you. I'm hopeful that online that new capability might interest folks enough that they do actually start attending meetings, though, in the future. You're very correct. It's very complicated. It takes a long time to learn all the ropes, and maybe that'll become evident as they find the gateway into that process through the online service.
Thank you.
Okay, one last thing. The annual meeting by May 15th, is that a repeat of Tulalip that we're suggesting takes place on an annual basis, or is this something else? Because I know the co-managers get together regularly during North of Falcon. So what is this annual meeting idea? Director?
My understanding of the annual meeting, Commissioner, is that through the process, it's a meeting that either got pushed later and later into the year, but it was just to sit down after the season, figure out work plans, decide what, you know, everybody's had a chance to go home and actually sleep in their own bed, clear their head a little bit, and come back and compare notes and plan for the year. Oftentimes through North Falcon, we've got initiatives or key work that needs to be done by joint staff, so we would have that as a discussion. And it's just that opportunity to get back together where we're not rushed and reconnect. Mm-hmm.
Director Anderson?
Yeah, we talked about this, I think, in the Fish Committee last night. So as part of the co-management stipulation, there's a requirement to have an annual co-managers meeting. And in the stipulation, it has to occur, I believe, by May 16th of each year. We've been letting that slip, and so that was one of the things we talked about in our co-managers meetings, about how do we go about improving the relationship, and one was to get back on track and have that meeting as on time, and Ron's certainly correct on that there can be a variety of topics, not just about North of Falcon, but broader topics that we would discuss, and we generally have one. Well, we've moved to the point where we have one with the Puget Sound tribes, and we have a separate one with the coastal tribes.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you. Has anyone signed up to? No one has signed up for public testimony. It's just not controversial, evidently.
I'll bring my crowd tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Yeah. Good luck.
I like that.
All right, then we have reached the end of today's agenda, and we're early. Director Anderson?
Mr. Reinhardt, who's been a longtime participant in the North Falcon process, held his hand up. I just, he may have.
Did you sign up to testify?
I did not sign up for that as well. Shame on me, I did not realize it was going to be a little
Do you want to come up and take 3 minutes?
If I could take 3 minutes, I'd like to make a comment.
Sure. And you will need to fill out a testimony form afterwards?
Good afternoon, Commissioners, Director, Deputy Director, and all the employees back there behind me. My name is Norman Reinhart. I am the current sitting president of the Kitsap Pogie Club. I also sit on 5 different recreational advisory boards for salmon fisheries in Western Washington. I refer to myself as a WDFW junkie.
Groupie.
A groupie. and they laugh at me. I heard the comment that Commissioner Carpenter made about reaching out to the community and that the perception of the results of what happens at North of Falcon when it gets out into the recreational community. And I know that you've all have probably heard these words before, but I'm going to try to remove the emotion from it and try to be objective in my comment about it. It's not because I'm emotional about it. It's that the folks I hang around with are. And that's this. There is a perception in the recreational community that the Fish and Wildlife Commission and the Department of Fish and Wildlife roll over in the co-manager meetings. Now, as Commissioner Carpenter said, it takes a great deal of time to go to North of Falcon and learn all the intricacies that happens there. He was one of my first mentors. He took me under his wing and he taught me, and I appreciate that, Commissioner. But that's one person. There should be some way, or I hope there's a way that we can reach out, and I know I try to, in my sphere of friends, to tell them that, you know, the Bolt decision is the Bolt decision. The law of the land is the law of the land. But to somehow express and demonstrate to the recreating public, the fishing public, the lengths and the amount of time that the department, and I've watched them from going to all of these meetings, and the commission spends on defending the recreational community's part of that Bolt decision. That message is not getting across to the recreational community. So if there's a way that you all can figure out how to send that message to us so that we understand it clearly, that, hey, it's not a matter of rolling over just because the co-managers say we want. It's a matter of law. Very briefly, the one example I'll give is that I just had some folks yell at me saying, why can't we have more fish in Area 9 and 10, specifically the summer Chinook season? Because we had to close both those seasons early. The department did a great job in managing that and spreading that season out as long as we could. When in Gorse Bay alone, we work with the Suquamish Nation in that fishery, they took 9,000 Chinook. One tribe took 9,000 Chinook, and that's about what we get in Area 9 and 10 combined, maybe a few more. Where is the equity there? And I don't have an answer to that, other than preseason forecasts are never perhaps what they should be. So basically, that's all I really wanted to comment on, is somehow we have to figure out a way to educate the public that it's not a matter of just, I'm not sure what the word I'm looking for, but again, I'm going to use the word rollover. I know that's not the case, though. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Commissioner Mencken.
Thank you, Norm, and for everything you do for the department and for the fishery and for the resource, and you are a junkie, and we really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Okay. Any other comments? That concludes the input portion of that item. So we are done for this afternoon.